Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got to wear several different hats today, so you just bear with me for a couple minutes. I heard a preacher that was filling in for another preacher one time, and he said, I know you guys are used to good steak dinners, ribeye messages from your normal pastor, but a good bologna sandwich will do you fine every once in a while, and that's what I am today.
Amen.
All right, it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Amen. Amen. Pastor Rich asked me to preach this morning, so let's continue to keep him and his family in prayer for travel mercies and safety and just for his family in general. They kind of need some help right now. So just pray that this would be kind of like a time of resting and recharging for them. So it is a good day to be a child of God. So let's keep Danielle in prayer for teaching Sunday school this morning. Not necessarily for her, but for them kids. I've seen the way that woman fights the devil, and them kids don't stand a chance. I remember being a little boy one time in Sunday school, and one of the ladies of the church, she was teaching us on the Ten Commandments, and she was just finishing up with the honor of thy mother and thy father part, and this little girl, she shot that hand up about as fast as she can. She goes, is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters? And without missing a beat, this other little boy goes, yeah, thou shalt not kill. So maybe I ought to take that back. Maybe Danielle might need some prayers from us this morning. I don't know. If you give me just a second, Lord really wanted me to do a certain something today. Today is a special day to me. One thing about me is I love history. History holds a lot of value and meaning into it. But today specifically, this sermon that I'm about to preach, this is the first time I've preached out of this book. And no, I'm not telling you, this is the first time I've preached out of the Bible. It's still a black King James Bible like I'm used to preaching out of and reading out of every day. But this one's special. It's got a lot of history. It's got a lot of meaning to it. This is my grandpa's Bible. This is my dad's dad's. My grandpa, he left it to my dad after he, you know, went home to be with the Lord, and it was my dad's, and now he's passed it on down to me. And when my time on earth is done, I'm going to pass it down to my kids. The hands that have touched this Bible and turned its pages, they mean more to me than anything in the world. But I really felt like I wanted to preach out of my grandpa's Bible today, because this message this morning that I'm going to bring is one that my grandpa and my dad and me have all had to deal with at one point in time in life, and all three of us ran to the Lord Jesus with this same exact book. And when times get hard and my kids have them same problems, they're going to have this same exact Bible when I pass it down to them, but they're still going to have the same exact Jesus that we ran to. So let's begin our sermon this morning. If you turn with me, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 37 and 38. And I'm just going to warn you now, this message is a little rough this morning. But this has been laid on my heart just about as heavy as you can get it. Mark chapter 4. Verses 37 and 38, and if you found it, say amen. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat it into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. My Father, I thank you for using me again today. I thank you for letting us gather here in your house. Lord, I pray today that you'd give me your unction, you'd give me your anointing to preach your word as you intend it. I pray the Holy Spirit would move freely amongst us, and you'd be glorified and magnified, Lord. I need you in a special way today, my Father. Like I ask you every time I preach, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, and that today they'd see you, Lord, not me. Move me completely out of the way so you may have your way completely. Lord, I'll give you praise on credit for what you're going to do today. be with the people, and I pray if one here today comes and they don't have the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that I pray that today would be today the day. Let your words be spoken through me, Lord, and we'd be very careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Now all the people in the Lord's house said amen. I'd like to preach you a sermon that I've entitled The Storms in Our Lives. One of the biggest lies that you'll hear when you get saved and become a Christian is that everything's going to be perfect and sunshine and rainbows and unicorn farts and all that. No worries, no problems. But if you've been saved for any length of time, you'll know that's complete hogwash. And if you ain't had a storm yet, don't worry, it's a coming. When some storms that we can deal with, they come in as a small shower. And others come in like a Category 5 hurricane. And if you've been there, you know what I mean. I mean, it's been some rough times. Some storms, you'll limp through it. And other storms, you'll come out of it by the skin of your teeth wondering what in the world happened and how did you make it. I've seen it and I've experienced it. I've been there to comfort a mother that just lost her son. I've been there when a father wakes up and his world's completely changed. I've been there to comfort a young woman that just got the phone call that her best friend overdosed on drugs. You ever tried to comfort a five-year-old that just lost her mother? You ever tried to comfort someone whose loved one has terminal cancer? Or maybe they just had a massive heart attack. Now, I've been there, and it's miserable, and it's ugly, and I've cried with them, and it's cost me many a night's of sleep. In this life, it's a guarantee you're going to face some storms, and some of them make you want to run and quit. You could be doing everything right that you know how to, and just all of a sudden, bam, out of nowhere, your life ain't the same no more. Oh, sure, we can pass it off good when we see another brother or sister going through the storm. Oh, yeah, they just need to pray about it. Or, yeah, they sure did something to make God give them their comeuppance. He's plowing their tater patch. They must have done something to make God mad. But with us, then, all of a sudden, when it hits us specifically, it's a completely different story altogether. Oh, Satan's attacking me. Oh, God, I don't deserve this. God, why are you doing this to me? And I'm not saying that Satan doesn't attack us. I'm not saying that in the slightest bit. But I think a lot of times we give him too much darn credit for who he is. The world will say, look at him. Look what their God's doing for him. Why would God do that to good people? See, this is exactly why I don't believe in God. And maybe you've asked them same questions. Maybe you're sitting here this morning smack dab in the middle of a storm or you're listening to this online, or maybe you know somebody that's going through a storm right now. And this is what we're going to deal with this morning. We're going to try to answer for you. Now, I've got three points that I want to cover. And I'm not saying in the slightest bit that this is going to be all three of the answers for this. There are many answers, but these three this morning is what I want to concentrate on. So, the first point is why God puts storms in our lives is because He knows the storm. Not only does He know the storm, but He also allows them. Hast thou considered my servant Job? That's what the Lord asked Satan in Job chapter 1 and verses 8. And there was nobody like Job. The Bible says he was an upright man, and he feared God, and he abstained from sin. Job was a full-fledged child of God from what the book says to me. He loved the Lord, and he served the Lord very well. God blessed him because of his loyalty and his faith and his obedience. He gave him a wife and 10 kids, all the land and critters he could ever want. He had more money than what he knew what to deal with. And, I mean, he had all the right things, and I mean, he seemed like he was doing all the right stuff. And oh yeah, Satan said, I know all about your little servant, all right. You got a hedge built up around him, and I can't touch him. You see, all you've done, Lord, is you've spoiled him to death. He expects it now, and the only reason he keeps on following you is because you just keep spoiling him. But you give me some time. You give me just a little bit of time with Job, your little buddy there, and I'll have him cursing you straight to your face. He's in your hands now, Satan. The only thing you can't do is kill him. That's it. So let me put this to you, my answer to that, in the most Christian way that I possibly can. Do what? The most loyal servant that you have, Lord, you treat him worse than a dog? You let Satan take his kids and destroy everything he had. You left him broke. You left him covered in sores. And let's not forget about that godly wife he left him with. Look what you done, look what God's done for you, Job. Looks like it's all paying off real good right about now, huh? You were so faithful to him. Look how he's paid you back. Why don't you curse God and die? Could you imagine that? Talk about some wife. Just curse God and die. And we all know the rest of the story about Job. But do you think right then and there, through all that, that he knew that God was going to give him back double because of his faith? If you do, don't you sleep on your side tonight, because your brain might ooze out your ear. Of course not. Job's in the middle of a storm. It's the biggest storm he's ever faced. His world's been turned upside down. He's got nothing left. There's no end in sight as far as Mr. Job's concerned. And who'd be honest this morning to raise your hand and say that you've been right where he's at one point in time in some way or another? Amen, preacher. That's right. We all have been right there. We didn't know what to do. There ain't no end in sight. Job had nowhere to go and nobody to run to except for the one, the only one that he knew that could fix this. And don't you think for a minute that Job didn't ask God why. He's just a man like just you and me. Why, God? Why me, God? I served you well. Why? If I could just see your hand moving in this right now, I'd be okay. But from where I'm standing right now, God, I don't see you. And why is it like that for Christians? Why would God have us to suffer? Why would he allow us to go through these storms? I mean, wouldn't it be better off if we were just in the sunshine all the time? It's a lot better in the sunshine than it is in the storm. And the sunshine feels good. We've got enough farmers in here and gardeners to have us a couple hundred years worth of crop growing experience. Why can't we, the crop, just be left in the sunshine all the time? If you leave the crop in the sunshine all the time with no water, the crops will burn up and wither. The crops need a storm from time to time if they're ever going to grow. Did you hear me? The crops need a storm from time to time to grow. And after that storm's gone, oh yeah, buddy, here comes that sunshine again. Amen. Christ said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that's what it says in John chapter 7. The storm is not meant to hinder us. It's meant to grow us in our faith and draw us closer to the Lord. The storm isn't meant to punish us. He wants to go deeper with us. God loves you and he knows the storm. During the storms that we're going through, it's hell itself. I'll be the first one to say that. God's just waiting on us to stretch our little hands up and say, I'm drowning, Lord. I'm drowning. But I still got my eyes on you and I trust you. And no matter what, I'm still yours. I trust you. You show faith like that to God and he'll reach down further than you can reach up. Those big old arms will pick you right back up and bring you back into the sunshine. Amen. I serve a good God. How about you? Who'd be the first to say amen to that one this morning? Some seasons feel like survival, but in the storm, God's faithful. In the storm, God's still loving us through the mess. God puts the storms in our lives because he knows the storm. He allowed them for you to grow in him because he loves you that much. So don't think it as he's plowing your tater patch. He loves you and he wants to teach you a lesson. Wants you to grow in him, just like we do with our kids. Remember that, moms and dads? Sometimes it's tough love, but you got to get them every once in a while and say, hey, I'm trying to teach you this. This is called tough love. The Father of the universe ain't no different neither. Secondly, God puts the storms in our lives because somebody's watching you. Our original text this morning is Mark 4:37 and 38, but for my second point, I want you to look at verse 36 here for just a second. Mark chapter 4:36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Now, what's that got to do with anything? During my study and preparation for this sermon, this verse practically jumped off the page and gave me a hug. I've probably read this 100 times, and that's just being generous there. But this time when I read that, wow. The Bible's good about that, ain't it? How you can just read something, gloss over it all the times, and then just one of them times this comes up and grabs you by the tie or the shirt and just goes, hey, looky here. And that's no different. It really did. It just blew me away how what this showed me. But what does the text say? And there were also with him other little ships. What's usually on a boat out in the water? People. Think about it now. When Jesus, this is the part that jumped off at me. When Jesus and the disciples were in the boat in the storm, that meant if there were other little ships, there was people watching them in that storm. You see that? There's people watching them in the storm. And there ain't no different than us. When we go through the storms in our lives, amen, somebody is watching us. And I'm going to put this a couple different ways for you this morning. If there were a couple people that got saved today, maybe about a handful of folks would hear about it. But if somebody messed up or backslid every church in 20 miles, I'd hear about it. Not my church. Don't you be so naive to think that. Go ask the world, and I bet you the first thing that they'll say is, I don't go to church because they're real good at shooting their wounded. And we are. We can agree with that one. And I'm not specifically talking about this church, but if that offends you, maybe you are part of the problem. Jesus said in chapter 13 that you love one another as I have loved you. And thank God that we serve a God that forgives us and loves us more than one time instead of writing us off after a bad storm like a lot of so-called Christians do. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, it says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're to help each other. We're to pray for one another. We're supposed to shoulder one another's burdens, amen? We're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ and a part of the family of God. John chapter 1 1 John 1, 7 says, But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. When one of our own are going through the storm, they're going to remember watching what they saw us do last time somebody else went through a storm. Did we shoot our wounded, or did we shelter them and give them refuge? Did we kick them to the curb and humiliate them? Or did we restore such an one in the spirit of meekness? The church should be the first place that people want to run to during a storm. And I don't care. You could walk through that door right now, still half drunk in three-day-old clothes, and dang it, I'm going to help you. Because at one time, that was me. I know how it feels. I know how it feels when you need help and you don't know where to go or where to turn to. And I know that some of you do too. People are watching us through the storm. Or, let me put it to you like this. People are not just watching the church, they're watching you personally. The world is watching you during the storm also. How you took it and how you dealt with it. When the storm came in your life, let me ask you, did you run to the book or the booze? Amen? What did you do with it when the storm hit you? Did you take it to the Lord where it should be, or did you crawl up in a hole somewhere? I'll fake it till I make it. I'll figure it out. A breakthrough is bound to come, or this little self-help pile of garbage said it could help, or another drink will make the pain go away. But the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not half of it, all of it. and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. For greater is he that is in me than greater than he that is in the world. Take it to Christ on bended knees, Christian, and let him fight your battles for you. I'm sorry if I'm up here screaming and shouting and everything this morning, but there's a man named Jesus that saved me one day, and I ain't got over it yet. He's the only sure thing that you can put your trust in at all times, and especially during the storm. He's the comforter. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he has the final say. And I come here to tell somebody today that I really don't care what Mr. Doctor's got to say. I surely don't care what Mr. Banker has to say. I don't care what the realtor has to say, and amen, I don't care what the insurance guy has to say. The Lord Jesus Christ has the final word. And we face the storm. Why don't we give the world something to watch? I mean, they're already watching you. Give them Jesus. Give them, let them look and let them see Jesus working through you. When we face the storms in our lives, somebody's watching. Show them who we ought to be running to when the storm hits. And the one we have faith in to get us through it. And can help those that are going through the storms for their own if they just put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them watch Jesus. Now, I'm preaching a little quick this morning. We're going to get out of here and get to Cracker Barrel before all the other churches are out. But my final point, then I'm going to come to a close. God puts the storms in our lives because we'll have a testimony to share. I think it'd be pretty safe to say that most people who truly get saved don't just wake up one morning and say, you know what, I think I'll be a Christian today. And then they live some kind of happy kumbaya, blah, blah, blah kind of life, happiness and glitter and blah, blah, blah. Most of the time, I can just preach for myself then, that's fine. Most of the time, there's some serious circumstances that lead us to Christ. And the reality of death without him is eternal damnation and a sinner's hell. I know personally that's how it went for me. You can ask these two right back over here and they'll be a witness to that one. I went through hell itself before I found Jesus. I lived about a godless, rough life that you could ever imagine. For a lot of people like me, we've lived a real rough life before surrendering to Jesus. Some of us are former drug addicts, alcoholics, prostitutes, gang members, thieves, and murderers, and that's only hitting the tip of the iceberg of the list. Maybe you know one like this, or maybe before coming to Christ that someone was a homosexual or had an abortion, or even maybe was a Satanist, or maybe as a child they were abused physically and in other ways that I'm not going to say behind a pulpit. Whatever it was, the ugly part of their story is the most powerful part of their testimony. Not everyone has your testimony, though. Not everyone has gone through the storms that you have. But somewhere out there in the world, and maybe it's even next door to you, or someone that maybe you'll eventually cross paths with, your testimony is the one that they need to hear that will open up their hearts to the good news of Jesus Christ. Can my testimony relate to a prostitute that's a single mother? No, I don't really see how it could, but my God can. Hello? Amen? My God can. And he can use a sister in Christ that's been there to help her out along. Somewhere, God has another veteran who can help that one that's suicidal. And somewhere, God has a former drug addict or an alcoholic that can help lead that one to Christ. Somewhere out there, God has a person who used to be in adultery and they can help drag you out of that pit. What I'm saying is, you have a unique testimony on how God got a hold of you and completely saved you and changed you once you surrendered to him, so that one day at an appointed time, you can share that story with somebody else. The world's hurting. There are a lot of people out there hurting. There are people that you know personally that are hurting, hanging on by a thread because, I mean, they're going through the storm. And they're going through a storm that only your testimony can show them just even the slightest glimpse of hope. And yeah, not everybody has to go through a Category 5 hurricane storm to have some kind of a testimony. Maybe yours was just an empty feeling or some gloomy times or some slight rain showers, if you would, just lost in the wilderness. There's a world full of people out there that are lost, looking for help, looking for just a little glimpse of light, dying to hear the testimony of one that's been there and gone through it. Maybe the storm that you went through, your outcome, and how you came to salvation is what the person that's sitting right next to you is dying on the inside to hear. People need to hear that Jesus still saves. People need to hear our testimonies. When's the last time you shared your testimony? When's the last time that you even just said to somebody, hey, has anybody told you today that Jesus Christ loves you? Why don't you make it a point this week to just try to tell somebody that Jesus loves them? God doesn't just randomly pick people to go through a random storm or just this little some kind of storm that, you know, he created just out of nothing. He knows the storm. He knows people are watching. He put the storm in your life so you'd have a testimony to share with the world, all the messy life that you had, the lost life that you had, that Jesus Christ still died on a cross for you, just for you. And he loves you more than he could possibly ever imagine. And that by coming to him, you can have peace in your storm. We read Mark chapter 4 through 36 through 38, but the part that I want us to leave out of here this morning with is verse 39 through 41. If you just go there for a second with me, chapter 4, 39 through 41. And he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, now pay attention, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Would you like to have peace this morning? Are you going through a storm in your life? God's not punishing you. Take that to the bank. God is not punishing you. He's equipping you. Preacher, would Jesus really want to rescue or help somebody like me? Rescued me. Drug me out of the pit of hell that I was living in. And if he can do it for me, I don't care. He can do it for anybody. God's been better. I'll argue with anybody in here too. God's been better to me than anybody. It's one of my favorite sayings. Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11, chapter 28 through 29, you don't have to spin there. I'll just read it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Why don't you bring it to Christ today? Whatever storm you're facing, bring it to him. Try him. See if this preacher's telling you stories or the truth. God puts the storms in our lives. The question is, what are we doing with them? What are we doing with them? Are we going to drown in them? Or are we going to bring glory with the outcome of it to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? God knows the storms and allows them. People are watching us. And God's going to equip you with an awesome testimony of his love and mercy for us to share. Remember, out of everything I've said today, Jesus loves you. Let's pray. Father, you know our hearts this morning. Someone needed this message, and I pray, Lord, I pray it would be a blessing to them, and it'd help them. And I pray that it'd give them some hope. Lord, I pray you draw us closer, or that you would use it to draw us closer to you. Your will be done, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that we'd take it with us this week. The world's dark, Lord, you know that. I'm not telling you nothing that you don't know. But you are the light. Let us show the light when we leave here today. Be with those present, be with those listening online. Help us to see you in the storms of our lives. I love you, I praise you. Thank you for using me, Lord. All the praise and glory and honor goes to you today, Lord, and I'm just the messenger. You've been good to me. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, thank you. Amen. Brother, you can come on up. I'll get this in a little bit.
You're good. It's all good. Well, the invitation has been covered. So let's go to the communion. 483 will be our communion hymn.